Wildfires are growing more frequent and severe, and wildfire season has lengthened by almost 3 months since the 1970s. Experts say it's time to think beyond battling these inevitable blazes and find a way to live with them. From KJZZ's Arizona Science Desk, Nicholas Gerbus reports.
We know how to do things much, much better. We know how to reduce risks to homes and neighborhoods and, in effect, create communities better adapted to increasing wildfire risks.
Kimmy Barrett is a wildfire and policy analyst with Headwaters Economics in Bozeman, Montana. She says wildfires play a vital ecological role, yet people see them as disasters when they affect communities.
They're a process our landscapes have adapted to over millennia, and so they are supposed to be there.
Experts can't always predict when wildfires will occur, but where is another matter. Oregon State University civil engineer Erica Fisher.
These wildfires are predictable. The areas in which they burn, it's usually the same areas over and over and over again.
And yet people keep building communities in the wildland-urban interface, or WUI.
In fact, the WUI is the fastest growing land use type in the lower 48 states, with more than 1 in 3 homes now located in these wildfire-prone landscapes.
Wildfires have destroyed 120,000 buildings in the U.S. since 2005, yet thanks in part to expedited planning procedures, construction in burned areas has grown more than 60% over the past 2 decades. Once built, those structures only add to the potential danger and damage.
Wildfire is one of the only hazards where the burning of homes itself intensifies the hazard.
Houses supply fires with abundant fuel that burns longer than vegetation and can create floating firebrands that ignite distant buildings. What's more, the resulting smoke holds perhaps hundreds of potentially toxic compounds. Fernando Rosario Ortiz is an environmental engineer at University of Colorado Boulder.
We're not talking about TVs and refrigerators and dishwashers and all of that. And we are starting to be more and more concerned with contamination.
Plastic service pipes buried in fire-heated ground can leach carcinogenic benzene into water systems. Farther afield, noxious substances can deposit across the watersheds that feed 2/3 of U.S. cities.
These are the same areas that are prone to fires, and these fires can abruptly and adversely impact these watersheds, and the effects can be quite complex and long-lasting.
Up to 5 to 10 years. As rains fall on slopes destabilized by fire, they wash ash, nutrients, metals, and organic carbon into rivers and reservoirs. The ensuing changes in water chemistry and cloudiness create new purification problems. Meanwhile, holding the affected communities together takes more than a few truckloads of bottled water.
It's not just the burning of the structures themselves that is the loss to the community. These institutions play roles within that community that are very critical to recovery.
To weather tough times, communities need places where their members can work, learn, and get health care. They need a tax base. But experts say true resilience also requires overcoming deep-seated problems like systemic racism, poverty, health disparities, and language gaps.
Passing the building code, that's almost the easy part. But then how do we address all these socially vulnerable communities and help them actually have hazard mitigation that will work?
Barrett says it's time to envision a community growing alongside inevitable increasing risk.
In other words, anticipating a wildfire before it occurs and integrating mitigation strategies into the development framework.
Examples include specially designed neighborhoods, fire-shielded infrastructure, and houses hardened with fiber cement siding and asphalt composition shingles. The added cost is small and the benefits are substantial.
Every dollar spent on upfront wildfire mitigation within the WUI saves $4 in long-term costs.
In short, experts say it's time to start treating wildfires as foregone conclusions and to begin building the kinds of communities that can coexist with them. Getting there will mean overcoming anti-regulation sentiment, coordinating across jurisdictions, large and small, and injecting sizable sums of federal and state funding.
We need to start thinking about the urban within that wildland-urban interface. And right now, the inertia within us is to think that we can look at the forest and solve our way out of this.
Meanwhile, Fisher says it's a mistake to focus too much on climate change. Though it is worsening wildfires, such a gigantic problem can leave people feeling powerless and mask other factors at play.
A lot of communities feel disheartened and that they don't have a role to play or they can't do anything about it or they can't help themselves if it's only due to climate change. We are in this situation mainly because of our forest practices and our fire suppression practices over the last 100 years.
Ultimately, Barrett and Fisher remain hopeful. They point to urban planning changes that effectively ended the ruinous infernos that once afflicted cities like San Francisco, and note more recent successes in making communities more resilient to earthquakes, floods, and tsunamis. Nicholas Gerbus, KJZZ News, Phoenix.